Welcome to MTZ Overflow Podcast. In this sermon episode, Reverend Dr. Marcus Allen is preaching from the title, The Power of Divine Presence, in the sermon series, Legacy Appreciation, Standing on Shoulders. We're glad you're here.
Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. Exodus 17, 15. If you're able to stand, please stand in reverence to reading of God's holy word. That's Exodus chapter 17, verse 15. Amen. 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 Can I get a little more in the monitors? Momo. B-I-B-L-E. That's the book for me. I don't know the words. Amen. Exodus 17. Verse 15. So good to see all of you in worship today. Amen. And the Bible reads, and Moses built an altar and called its name, The Lord is my banner. I want to preach from the topic today, the power of divine presence. You may be seated. The power of divine presence. Here recently in culture, some have challenged the validity of black people being Christians. They have assumed that we are serving a white man's religion that was forced upon us during slavery. And I do believe that the Bible was used as a tool of oppression to keep the slaves bound and obedient to their masters, because it does state, slaves, obey your masters. However, Paul was speaking to those who owed in a debt. Because they were unable to pay their debt, then they took on the role of a slave until the debt was paid, then they were free. This was not chattel slavery, where human beings are treated as properly being able to be bought, sold, and inherited. And I want to challenge the theory of those who have suspected that Africans knew nothing of Christianity before being forced to come to America. Scholars suggest Christianity spread to Africa early on in history, likely within the first century AD. According to tradition, the apostles Mark and Matthew played a significant role in evangelizing North Africa. Mark is believed to be the one who founded the church in Alexandria, Egypt. Christianity also took root in the Horn of Africa. The Ethiopian Orthodox Church, one of the oldest Christian denominations, traces its origins to early conversion of the Ethiopian eunuch by the Apostle Philip that can be found in the Bible in Acts chapter 9. Christianity became the state religion of Ethiopia in the 4th century AD. African theologians played crucial roles in shaping early Christian theology. One of the most renowned figures is Augustine of Hippo, whose writings profoundly influence Western Christian thought. Augustine's works address theological topics that address the original sin, grace, and the nature of God, shaping Christian doctrine for centuries to come. And I believe that the honoring of Jesus as the Savior of the world was not something that our ancestors learned when they were forced to come to America, but it was a faith in which they brought with them. I wish I had a witness here. And I want to say that the divine presence of God, who has a son named Jesus and the Holy Spirit that leads us unto the day of redemption, has been with us. And I believe that if it had not been for God's presence, none of us would be here today. And when you study history and examine the pain and suffering which black people have experienced in this nation, it makes you wonder, how are we still standing? When our people had to deal with the trauma of being taken from their homeland, caged into cramped living spaces, traveling on the waters through the Middle Passage, watching loved ones die from sicknesses on the boat, or some even jumping overboard because of the refusal of being a slave. Then to get to the place where you are no longer considered as a human, however you are considered as the property, and you still see the value of living and worshiping God in the midst of your pain. I'm thankful that our ancestors never gave up on life, but they persevered through the hardships of slavery, Jim Crow, the lynching trees, segregation, discrimination, redlining, and police brutality. Our people have not always had much, and sometimes all they had was their faith in the presence of God. And because when you have his presence, you also have his power. Let me try that one more time. When you have his presence, you also have his power. For the Bible says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. For where the Lord is, we can find victory. We can find our hope. And I'm just glad today, my brothers and sisters, that I've realized that I can make it through life because the Lord, he's with me. You don't believe me? I got Bible to back up what I'm saying. David says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me. Joshua says, be strong and of good courage and be not afraid because the Lord your God will be with you. Is there anybody in the place that can testify, I know I can win, I know I have power, I know I have healing, I deliverance. It's because the Lord my God, he is with me. Amen. The Lord is with me, and because he's with me, I can look at my storms and say, the Lord is my strength and my refuge. He is a very present help in the time of trouble. I can look at my problems and I can declare, I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loved me. I can look at my circumstance and say, it don't look good right now, but I understand all things work together for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. I can't see how he's going to change it, how he's going to fix it, but I believe if God be for us, oh, I feel real churchy right now, who can be against us? I understand that if God is on my side, I can do anything but fail. So the question might be, why do we need his divine presence? Why do we need God's divine presence? We need his divine presence, number one, because it allows me to be ready to fight. It allows me to be ready to fight all my life. You told Harpo to beat me? All my life I had to fight. I wish I had a witness. Here we know in this particular pericope that the children of Israel, they find themselves in trouble again. And the Bible says the Amalekites came and attacked the Israelites while they were in Rephidim. The Amalekites did not boldly front Israel as a generous enemy, but without any provocation, they attacked them in the rear of the voyage and struck down their feeble. Here, the people of Amalek perceived that they was going to have an easy victory, but little did they know that they had attacked a camp that was protected by the divine presence of God. Oh, I wish I had somebody that could shout today that when people talk about you, they don't know who they're talking about. When they misuse you, they don't know how they treat you. They don't know who's on your side, who's walking with you. And here they attack them from the back. And the Amalekites, they attack them. And Moses, he tells Joshua, choose some of our men and go out and fight the Amalekites. It is here where I noticed that the faith of the Israelites had been established because God had done so many miracles for them. Yet every time when they were faced with a trial or a tribulation, they complained or they contended with Moses. They get to the Red Sea, and when they get there is no way out. They complain, and God splits the water, and they walk across on dry ground. A few days later, they're thirsty. They get to a place called Mara, but the water is too bitter to drink. They complain again, so God makes the bitter water sweet. A month later, they run out of food. They complain again, and they wish they were slaves again back in Egypt. So God rains down bread in the morning and meat at night. And sometime later, they're on the verge of dying from thirst. They complain once again, and God tells Moses that to strike the rock in with his rod, and the water flows from a rock. Every time they were in trouble, they complain, but now they're ready to fight. No one complains about being attacked by this hostile and aggressive enemy. It was not because they had the most advanced weapons, but it was because they finally realized they had God on their side. I wish I had a witness here. It was because they had been through some stuff with God, and God had proven that he was able to handle whatever was in front of them, so what was behind them didn't matter anymore. I wish I had a witness here. They realized that they had been through some trials with God, and God brought them out. They had been through some tribulations, and God brought them out. And because of what God brought them out of, and because of the experiences in which they had already had with God, when they come to an enemy ready to fight, no one says, let's not do it. No one says they're too strong. No one says they're too mighty. Everyone grabs their sword and they're ready to fight. Is there anybody in the building that could testify, I've been through too much not to know how good God is? My body's been sick and he healed me. And if he healed it back then, he's able to do it again. I've been down, but he lifted me. I wish I had a witness here. I've been broke and he paid my bills. Have I got one to witness? I was in trouble and he got me out of it. And if he did it last time, he's able to do it again. You see, you get a little more confident when you know who's on your team. Yeah. When I was a little kid, I used to fight all the times. But I was never afraid because I had a big brother. And my big brother liked to fight also. I wish I had a witness here. And so when anyone would mess with me and I fight them and they say, I'm going to get my big brother, I'm not afraid. Because I had a big brother also. I wish I had a witness here. And so whenever trouble came, I knew I was all right because I knew who was on my team. Is there anybody here? I'm trying to help you today that whatever you're going through, whatever you're enduring, it's all right because God is on your side, because you have the divine presence of God, and he promised never to leave you nor forsake you and to be with you until the end of this age. Why do we need the divine presence of God? We need the divine presence of God because it allows us to be ready to fight. And I'm telling you, my brothers and sisters, some stuff you're going to have to fight for. I wish I had a witness. Some things you're going to have to fight with prayer and fasting. Some things you have to fight with determination and consistency. Some things you have to fight with perseverance and continue to struggle, because things will not just happen, especially when you're trying to be great. I wish I had a witness. Is there anybody here trying to be great and you want something great to happen in your life? It won't just happen overnight just because you thought about it. No, you got to put some work into that thing. You're going to have some sleepless nights. You're going to have some troubles, some trials and tribulation. But when you come out of it, divine presence allows you to be ready to fight, but then your divine presence reveals true friends. Yeah, it reveals true friends. Moses tells Joshua, I'm going on the hilltop, and I'm going with the rod of God. In Exodus so far, the rod of God is the acknowledgement of the divine presence of God. When Moses used the rod, God demonstrated his power. To use the rod was to say, God did it. To fight without the rod was to face defeat. Using the rod was a way of submitting to the will of God and depending on the power of God. Moses says, we are going to fight. You are going to fight, but we're going on the mountain. And Moses realized that every time that the rod was involved, a miracle took place. And if you read the story, you will see as long as Moses had the rod lifted up, they won the battle. But when his arms became too weak and the rod came down, they began to lose. Moses becomes tired and weary from holding the rod. His arms were what we may have called, he reached a place called muscle failure. Muscle failure is when your muscles can't work anymore. Amen. These football players here, I watched them on Wednesday. I saw it. They was dying. Amen. It's when your arms are held up so long where you can't even lift your arms anymore. And he could no longer lift the rod by himself. But thank God, Moses took some friends with him who would not talk about him, but who helped him. Yep. First thing we see is that Moses was a humble leader because he did not think that he was the only one who deserved to be on the mountaintop. I wish I had a witness. He brought two others with him. Moses understood that if he was going to win, he needed a strong support system. Not only do we notice Moses' humility as a leader, but we notice the unity between these three brothers. If they had lost to the Amalekites, Aaron may have been next in line to be the leader of the people, and their winning depended on Moses. Aaron could have allowed him to try to do it on his own and watch Moses fail. I wish I had a witness just for him to get a promotion. They could have talked about Moses and called him weak and an unfit leader, but instead they encouraged him and helped him lift up the Lord. I wish I had a witness here. They informed Moses, take a seat and don't worry about trying to hold your arms up. Hair on one side, her on one side, and Aaron on the other side. Moses, you are not in this fight alone. We're going to help you lift up the Lord. I wish I had a witness. And if you're going to win with your hands up, you need some encouraging friends. You need some friends who don't mind you leaning on them and asking for help and not them getting upset with you asking them. You need some friends who don't mind lending a helping hand and not receiving anything in return, nor their names ever being mentioned. You need some friends who are able to speak life into you and not envy what God has done for you, because if God is blessing my neighbor, I'm just sure he's in the neighborhood. You need some friends who are willing to carry some burdens for you and support you even if you can't pay them back. The first season with the Brooklyn Dodgers, Jackie Robinson, the first black man to play Major League Baseball, faced venom nearly everywhere he traveled, fastballs at his head, spikings on the bases, brutal name calling from opposing dugouts in the crowds. During one game in Boston, the taunts and the racial slurs seemed to reach a peak in the midst of another Dodger game. A southern white man named Pee Wee Reese called a timeout. He walked from his position at shortstop towards Robinson, who was on second base, put his arm around Robinson, held it there for a long time, and the gesture alone spoke more than words could ever say. His gesture simply said, "This is my friend." No. He did not do anything, nor did he say anything to Robinson. He just stood by him when he needed a friend. Sometimes that's what we need, somebody just to stand by us, somebody to hold our hands, somebody to hug us when we're feeling lonely. And I know God is a friend that'll be closer than any brother, but sometimes you need to feel God in the flesh. Watch. Watch the text, my brothers and sisters. They do not take the rod from Moses and attempt to hold it themselves. They did not decide, let's rotate holding this rod, because they understood what their role was. They knew God called Moses to hold the rod. They couldn't hold Moses' rod, but they can help him lift it up. Yeah, you need some friends that understand they can't do what you do, but they can help you do what you do. I wish I had a witness here. You need some friends that can speak life into you, some friends that can lift you up, some friends that you can call on that can get a prayer through. I know we need some friends that can fight if we get in trouble. We need somebody to put Vaseline on their face and put their hair in a ponytail, take their heels off. We need somebody who's strong enough to fight. I know we need some friends we can talk to at any time of the night. I know we need some friends that know how to set the party off. I wish I had a witness here. A friend, when they walk in, that's when the party begins, and you just be beside. I know we need some friends like that, but you better find you a friend that know how to get a prayer through. Oh my God, you better find you a friend that know how to worship God with you and celebrate what God has done for you, and a friend that'll speak to you and help lift you even when you're feeling down. Why do we need the divine presence of God? We need his divine presence because it allows us to be ready to fight. We need his divine presence because it reveals who our true friends are. If you look on Facebook every year, about December, people are purging their friend lists. If you have to do it every year, it may not be other folk. Every year you purging friends, amen. That was for free. That wasn't in my notes. We need divine presence because divine presence is the reason for our victory. It's the reason for our victory. This narrative shows us that weapons formed against God's people would never prosper. Let me try it one more time. That weapons may form, but they will not prosper. Y'all don't understand it. Let me try to break it down. This is what that means. That means when the enemy shoots a rocket at you, however it is a dud, it was formed, but it couldn't prosper. Okay, let me try it again. When they put in a bad report about you, but the boss didn't believe it and still promoted you, they formed it, but it didn't prosper. I wish I had a witness here. When they lied on you, I wish I had a witness, and they scandalized your name, and they thought you would be on the fifth floor, but you're here today standing, is they formed some weapons, but they did not prosper. Is there anybody testimony in here? They said I wouldn't make it. They said I wouldn't be here today, but by the grace of God, I'm still here. I gotta go. I gotta get out of here. It's because of the presence of God. I wish I had a witness. It's because of the presence of God. Because what we don't see is God is working behind the scenes. And when they plan, I wish I had a witness, is to take us out. God's plan is to keep us in the midst of it. Because, oh my God, it's not that we didn't feel the blow. The blow still hurt, but the blow didn't kill. My wife suggests I like these type of movies. She call them shoot 'em up bang bangs. And these movies, it's a lot of shooting and there's a lot of bangs. Amen. And so in the movie, what I really love to see is when someone is shot in the chest, they fall down, they are unconscious, but then someone comes, rip the shirt off, and all of a sudden they see it was a bulletproof vest. And we thought that the person died, but the vest took the blow. And it, since the vest took the blow, it was formed to take them out. But it could not prosper. I thank God that he's been my vest. I've been lied on, but he protected me. I've been talked about, but he protected me. I've been discriminated against, but he protected me. I've been misused, but he protected me. He kept me when I couldn't keep myself. His divine presence is the reason for the victory. He says he does not build something to honor. Moses does not build something to honor Joshua. He builds something to honor God. He builds an altar, and on the altar he says he's Jehovah Nissi. Jehovah means he's the God that has revealed himself. He's the self-existent God who has now revealed himself. He's Jehovah Nissi. Nissi is banner or standard or flag. Moses says he is our banner, which means because of his presence, we now have the victory. And when it comes to banners, whenever you are at war, every unit comes with a pole. And on that pole is the flag. And on that flag are some streamers. And the streamers signify the battles that the army has already won. And when you go to a battle, you have your pole with all your flag, with your flag on it and all your streamers on it. And if you have no streamers on your flag, it'll allow your opponent to know that you haven't been to war before. And if you haven't been to war before, you may not know how to fight like somebody with multiple streamers on your flag. So God is Jehovah Nissi. He is our banner that goes before us. And when he goes before us, he allows our problems to see that I've been there before. Those of you who had cancer and God brought you out, God was Jehovah Nissi. I've been there before. Those of you been broke, busted, and disgusted, been down and out, felt like you weren't going to make it, God was your banner. He let your problems know. I've been here before. Those of you who had to grow up without a father in your home, and you know what it feels like to be abandoned by a parent, can I tell you something? God has something for you. I've been there before, and he will let you know that he is your banner. He is the one that goes before you. And if you can't understand that, one Friday on the hill called Calvary, my Jesus, he climbed up a pole. And when he went on the pole, he became a sacrifice for your sins and mine. He's Jehovah Nissi. He goes before me. He's my rock in a weary land. He's my shelter in a time of storm. He died on that cross for your sins and mine. But early Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hands. And since he got up, he's my Jehovah Nissi. He goes before me that when my enemy looks at my God, he understands that God is on my side. And if God be for us, then who can be against us? Greater is he
that is within me than he that's in the world. I thank God for his presence, for his glory, for his power, for his deliverance, for his peace, for his joy. Because if it had not been, I want to say it one more time, if it had not been for the Lord that was on my side, where would I be? When I was down, he lifted me. When I was lost, he guided me. When I was in discomfort, he comforted me. When I was down, he brought me out. When I was sick, he healed my body. I got one question, and then I'll sit down. Won't he do it? I said, won't God do it? Won't God do it? Is there anybody that could testify? I've got Jesus, and that's enough. He walks with me. Yes, Lord. And he talks with me. He tells me that I am his own. Say yes.
Thank you for joining us. We're so happy that you're here. Please continue to connect with Mount Zion Baptist Church on our Facebook page, YouTube channel, and our website, mtzlife.com. We continually put out new content, so be on the lookout and turn those notifications on. Looking forward to seeing you back here soon. Have a blessed day.